Well, I love that we have this image of the river right here, and may we step in as river this morning. Let's pray that. Lord, will you thank you for your invitation to go deeper in your river, to step into it. So help us, Lord, to do so. Help us to step into the fullness of what you have for us today and what you have for us every day as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to take a little break from Mark today, just a little one. Josh will be back at it next week. But we're not taking a break from our series on discipleship, though. We're still going to talk about discipleship today. We're just going to do that through looking at Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. And this is the ESV translation. Feel free to follow along on the screen. But this is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to the Lord, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This is God's word to us this morning. Thanks be to God. If you could pick just one word to describe Jesus, what would it be? And feel free to shout out some answers. Just one word. Can you do it? Love. Salvation. Persistent. Present. Wait, hold on. Passion. Glory. Tender. Mercy. Good. Dependable, redemption. Notice how we're not coming up with one with the same word. They're all different. I mean, that's how huge our God is, right? We just can't pick just one word. Charles Wesley captures this conundrum in his famous hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Right? There's just not enough songs, not enough praise songs, not enough hymns, not enough words to fully capture all that the Lord is, right? So I imagine that if you had this question asked to you, it might stump you, and it sure did a fellow named Bill Gautier, who is currently a psychologist and an ordained pastor, but he was mentored by Dallas Willard. And in one of their mentoring times, they were sitting in Dallas's office, and Dallas asked Bill this question: if you could pick one word to describe Jesus, what would it be? And Bill was going through all these lists of words, trying to think, okay, what is that one word that really gets to who Jesus is? And after a minute of silence that went on, started to get uncomfortable, Bill finally turned to Dallas and said, "Well, what one word would you pick?" And Dallas Willard, without hesitation, said, "Relaxed." Jesus is relaxed. Now, relaxed is not on the list of words that come to mind for me. So relaxed, well, where does that come from? Well, but isn't it true that if you look at the Gospels, if you see how Jesus interacts with everyone, isn't it true that he's always present in the moment? It doesn't matter the time of day. It can be in the middle of the night. It can be in the heat at noon talking to the Samaritan woman. It can be in the most, it can be when everyone's hungry, right? It can be when the disciples, the crowds have different expectations. It doesn't matter. Jesus is fully present, whoever is in front of him. And we see this in our text too. We see it even leading up to Luke 19, right before Zacchaeus, Jesus is approaching Jericho. He's not even in the city yet, and he hears blind Bartimaeus crying out. And what does he do? He stops and he heals, right? And then after this interruption, he finally gets into Jericho. And the verse is pretty clear. It says he is passing through. There was no plan to stop. The disciples thought, may have thought they're just going through. That was the plan for the day. Yet everything changes when Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And who is Zacchaeus? Who is this man that Jesus changes plans for? Well, if you're like me and you grew up in the church, you probably learned about Zacchaeus through Sunday school and probably through that timeless song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I preached a similar sermon at our presbytery here, and I had most of the pastors joined me in singing that song. So it was fantastic. I won't make you all sing it. But that's how we know about Zacchaeus. We know that he is short. We know that about him, right? He is short in stature. But he's also a tax collector. And that means that he's very wealthy. And that means that his wealth, his position has come at a cost, right? Because most tax collectors were despised by the local people, by the Jews, because they took advantage of them for the advancement of the Roman government. So I imagine that when Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, entered the scene, folks noticed. You would notice when the tax collector was close by, because he was someone you wanted to avoid, right? So I imagine that when the crowds of people were forming up on the line, on the side of the road, they heard Jesus was coming, they heard the rumors, they wanted to see him, they were forming up. I imagine that when they saw Zacchaeus join the crowd, that they were not eager to make room for him. So I imagine that when Zacchaeus makes the undignified move of climbing a tree, that there are those in the crowd that muttered amongst themselves, and we know they muttered amongst themselves because they do this later on in our chapter 2, and they say, I just imagine this, they say, do you see Zacchaeus? Do you see what he's doing? The tax collector, do you see what he's doing? Why is he climbing a tree? But then Jesus is walking down the road, and the crowd turns their attention to Jesus, and all is forgotten about Zacchaeus up in the tree. But Jesus does the unbelievable, doesn't he? He does not forget, but he stops right under the tree. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. What do you think Zacchaeus felt when he heard Jesus call his name? Panic? Me? Me? Calling my name? Amazement? Awe? Panic? Thanksgiving? Gratitude? Verse 6 says, Zacchaeus hurried down and received him joyfully. Hurried down and received him joyfully. Have you ever been caught off guard, perhaps a bit panicky too, this amazing truth that God truly calls your name? He truly, truly calls your name. He truly sees you. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as with tax collector and all, and he sees you and all in everything. He sees you and he calls your name. Have you ever been caught off guard with that truth? Has it really sunk in? Well, I had an experience of this, and it was over Easter, and I'm going to be honest for a moment. Some of you have already heard this. It was Easter morning, the one day that a pastor should have it all together, and I did not. Our son Patrick had been sick all week. It was an exhausting week. So by the time we got to Sunday, I was even more exhausted. I was tired. I woke up feeling tired. I woke up feeling flat. So when we got to church, still not feeling any better, not able to amp myself up, really. Josh and I were in the robing room, and we prayed for each other. And I was just honest, and I said, I'm really tired. We prayed together. It was a brief prayer, and it was the 30 seconds of walking from the robing room to the sanctuary in which I just felt this gentle whisper, the words pop into my head, Rebecca, I am the lifter of your head. I am the lifter of your head. And we started that first song, and it was by the end of that first song, it all had lifted. The exhaustion, the fatigue, the flatness, it all had lifted. And I felt the Lord just being so gracious to me, so kind, that he would see me in just my exhaustion and see me and walk with me. And at the end of the service, you know, we have this beautiful tradition of singing Handel's Messiah. Well, we were singing that, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What I was marveling at was that the King of Kings, Lord of Lords met with me that day in a very personal way, met with me, saw me. The Lord meets us where we are. But Jesus did not just see Zacchaeus. He didn't just stop for him. He also went deeper than Zacchaeus could ever imagine. Zacchaeus just climbed a tree to catch a glimpse, and he found himself having a conversation with Jesus and a house guest. Jesus directly invites himself over, and Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. You know, we know this. We have social norms, right? There's the right way to invite someone over or to ask if you can come see someone. You say, you know, what time can I come see you, or what day is it convenient? Jesus doesn't do any of that. He just goes straight to it. He says, I must stay at your house. I must. Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus, but Jesus is even more eager, more to the point of being absolutely blunt. And Zacchaeus is a changed man because of this encounter. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And how does Jesus respond? He says, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation. What does salvation mean? What does that mean? It means a total shift of identity, a shift from tax collector to son of God, to child of God. Right, of being free in Christ, of knowing him eternally. Today salvation has come. Zacchaeus only wanted to see Jesus and found himself swimming in an ocean of God's grace and new life. Wow. Wow. Christ's response to Zacchaeus is an abundance. Well, this is great and all, isn't it? I mean, this is amazing, but where are we in the story, right? Where do we see ourselves in the story? And I think we all know the right answer. Well, you know, you should be like Zacchaeus. Climb that tree. Make that effort to see Jesus. Pursue him actively. Zacchaeus came to Christ as a despised tax collector. May we seek him out and know the one that walks unhurried beside us, that sees us. Right where we are and right who we are. But if we're honest, and if I'm being honest, and I'm preaching to myself today as it often goes, the temptation is to find ourselves in the crowd. Perhaps more as a spectator, watching, waiting, hoping that the Lord will do something, but yet not actively pursuing. Not actively pursuing. There are a lot of books on discipleship out there, right? Lots of books on prayer, on how to read the Bible, on the spiritual disciplines, lots of books out there. But I recently read an amazing summary of discipleship, and this is from Doug McMurray's book, Glory Through Time. His new book is out, and I think he's going to be here in September. Hope so. If you haven't read his first book, please do, especially if you love history. But it is an amazing account of God's activity through time and really encouraging. But he talks about these desert fathers and mothers who went out in 300, 400 AD, They got fed up with Rome, didn't want to be a part of the paganism anymore, and said, we're just going to go out to the desert and pursue Jesus with our lives, be devoted to him in prayer and discipleship. And word spread, and other believers traveled out to the desert just to spend time with him, just to learn how to be an effective Christian. Now, these desert saints had an amazing impact on Christianity in general. Okay, an amazing impact on the spread of Christianity. Augustine was greatly influenced by them and their writings. So there are lots of ripple effects from these desert fathers and mothers. But they had a way of teaching discipleship. And I just want to give it to you real quick. There are steps. And the first step was learn to connect with God daily, be in a consistent relationship with him, pursue him daily, not just on Sunday, but daily. Number two, learn to let his love flow into you. And Josh preached about this last week. Learn to know, grow in knowing that your Heavenly Father loves you, that you belong to him. In other words, that he sees you. Number three, this is where I want to land this morning. Learn that there is an inner battle, that there are distractions, there are thought patterns, and there is an evil one that wants to keep you from doing step one and step two. These desert fathers and mothers, even away from all worldly distractions, quickly discovered that there are still temptations. And we are prone to wander. We are prone to wander, as come thou fount states. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So part of discipleship is always being aware. Always being aware. Am I pursuing Christ? Am I actively pursuing him? Or am I starting to be more of the crowd? And it's so easy to happen, so easy, doesn't it? It's easy to become dry and disconnected in our faith because of distractions. They're all around us. We've got them. We have our own flesh, right? We've got our own busy schedules. There's the world, and then there's the enemy. I mean, there's just a lot around us. It's so easy. Have you ever gotten stuck holding the door before? This is our good Southern hospitality, right? Just good old Southern hospitality. If you're at a movie theater or a restaurant, there's someone behind you, you open the door for them, right? Have you ever gotten stuck holding the door, though? You don't realize that there's a crowd coming, too. So you open the door, and five people come in, then 10, then 15, then 20. And you start to think, well, when can I come in? I think sometimes distractions are like that, even the good things we do. We do, we serve, we care, we work, we pour out. But yet, like holding the door open, we can forget that we're called to go into, that the Lord calls our name as well, that he invites us to know him deeper and deeper. And instead of dipping into the wells of grace and strength that the Lord freely offers, instead we find ourselves eventually just exhausted, just empty. Have y'all ever gotten there before? I know I have. I have. Jeremiah really hits it home in chapter 2, verse 13, when he says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. St. Giles, as we work, as we care, as we do, let's ask ourselves, what kind of wells are we digging? Are we digging our own wells? Are we getting stuck holding the door open? Staying there will leave us exhausted, and we will dry out. Or are we pursuing Christ? Are we going to the well of living water? And the call of discipleship is to go, to come, to keep coming, to keep coming through every season, right? Every trial, to keep coming back. Discipleship is an ongoing pursuit. So as Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus, hear your Savior's invitation. As we hear the rain pounding down, hear his invitation to you. He has a river of life for you to step into. And he calls you in deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think the invitation to each of you is, if you feel like you've been holding the door open and you feel like you've been there for a while, if you feel like you're holding things up, holding your family up, the Lord is saying to you, you can let go, you can give it to me, and I want you to come in, into my presence. You have a Savior who is eager, way more eager to meet with you than we are. He meets any eagerness we have with an abundance of who he is. You are seen and you are loved, and know that the one who is unhurried walks beside you. Let's pray. God, we give thanks that you are our Savior. Lord, we give thanks that you call us to go deeper and deeper into knowing you, and you desire us to not stop, to not become passive, to not be just one of the crowd who just hopes but never pursues. So Lord, help us to pursue you. Help us to keep pursuing. Show us the ways that you are calling us to. And come, Holy Spirit, come. We give you the rest of our service now as we enter into our healing time. In Jesus' name, amen.